You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
Well, if you stand up, I know you can block a lot of it.
Yeah. Brian Mormon is going to fake it on the run.
I'm Sean Taylor, University of Miami. The hardest hitter in the draft.
Sean Taylor, and it is picked off by Sean Taylor. Oh my, what a display.
You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. It's me, Will, along with Wally, and as usual, Ray is out.
As usual, Ray is out. But that was Sean Taylor, y'all. R.I.P. Sean Taylor, man. He passed 11 years ago to this day, November 27th, man.
Young legend. Guy who has been immortalized in D.C. sports lore.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm.
A guy who still continues to inspire and impact the play of young safeties who've come after him in the league, in Washington, and you know, in other destinations also. So rest in peace, Sean Taylor, and much love to his family and those who cared about him.
Yeah, definitely. Among one of my favorite Sean Taylor memories used to be how I used to punk Terrell Owens. T.O. used to not like going to the middle when Sean Taylor was coming. And you can see it, though. I don't say punk. I think it's a strong term, but you know what I mean, though.
I mean, he made a business decision.
He sure did. Sean Tay had it. You know, he had that type of imposing. He was an imposing player at the safety position. So, yeah. R.I.P. Sean Tay, man. All right, we'll see how. I'm geeking. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports and hit us up on our Urban Sports and Facebook page. Now, Will T, what do we usually do?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Skins losing to the Dallas Cowboys 31-23 on Thanksgiving, and the Skins claiming inside linebacker Reuben Foster. Then we'll preview the Skins Eagles game. Finally, we'll feature our listener segment, That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. It'll be all Sean Taylor. So in the future, if you want to call into the show and you want to say anything Skins related, call the number. The number is 301-799-5407. But first, Skins fell to the Cowboys 31-23. What were your thoughts of the game?
My thoughts was it was all good just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You want to play that clip? I don't have that song. I wish I did have that song.
I mean,
on.
You
I'm still the same.
You vehemently argued with Ray and myself about this team being 6-3,
yeah,
being a team on the cusp of making the playoffs,
yeah,
being one of the better teams in the NFC.
Nothing's changed.
And you still feel that way after these two losses?
You lost your quarterback, one. So I guess if you're going to use a disclaimer to it, say you lost your starting quarterback to a gruesome injury. But that's either.
That's a gruesome injury, yeah. An argument can be made that you're not getting much of a downgrade from Alex Smith to Colt.
Oh, yes, yes you are. You got three turnovers, quick, and she could have been five. That wasn't great quarterback play at all. But on the flip side, you know, yeah, you still have an opportunity. You have the Eagles next who aren't playing their best ball. We'll talk about them later. Your defense is still, you know, you still got playmakers still able to turn the ball over. They've shown they can still do that. So they still have an opportunity. This NFC East isn't tough, isn't difficult. The Giants, who thought they had a nice little win streak, lost to the Eagles, so the Giants are down. You got the Cowboys. The Eagles aren't playing the best football, and the Cowboys are playing the Saints on Thursday night. So it's still there. I'm not looking at this season like it's over. Not at all.
You shouldn't, but I think you're far less optimistic than you were.
No, not at all. Actually, I'm still confident.
Okay.
I'm still confident. I think that this Eagles game, I will say, well, again, we're going to talk about it later, but this Cowboy game was disheartening. If you look at what happened in the game, it wasn't anything that the Cowboys did special. Great, you mentioned it in the text that, you know, tackling was poor, was piss poor. If anything, if you look at the two touchdowns they scored to Amari Cooper, Those are terrible. That was just a terrible display of tackling that led to big plays. Then you look at Dak Prescott that should have been, you know, should have been tackled running for that touchdown. That's just is poor tackling. I don't look at it something as you, like the Saints game. Like the Saints game was pretty much manhandled. Like you were manhandled. That's a game. If I looked at anything, if that Saints game happened now, then I would agree with you. Then I would be like, yeah, like this ain't, they ain't making it.
You still drinking the Kool-Aid?
No, nah, I'm just
still have those rose tinted glasses.
No, it's all about the eye test. I think at times people look at like, are they where they were in the beginning of the season? No, because injuries play a part. But are they out of it? Look at the remainder of the schedule. If you told me that, like anybody, okay, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tennessee Titans, the Philadelphia Eagles twice, who are they're not playing great ball, and then you got the Giants.
You said the eye test, right?
Yeah.
Looking at how this quarterback played, looking
Colt
at
McCoy.
Colt McCoy, the inability of you to sustain a drive with your off, you know, through the air and on the ground.
Yeah.
Having some problems at cornerback, you have problems along the offensive line.
Which cornerback are you referring to? You're talking about cornerback position
at
his hall?
Cornerback position.
Yeah, because Dunbar's still hurt, basically. Yes. All right, okay. Go ahead.
The injuries along the offensive line.
Yes.
And you still think this team is prime?
No, because one, the cornerback play. Yeah, the cornerback play isn't a problem to me. I think you have other teams that have with worse cornerback play. Look at the Eagles; have a terrible cornerback situation. They do. The whole secondary is jacked up.
Yeah, that whole secondary.
So it's like you have other situations that are far worse than the Skins.
But they have a redeemed.
The defense isn't even the Eagles. Are not even a top 10. They're not a top 10.
No, I'm saying they still have a redeeming qualities as a football team in general.
What's that?
Their offense.
But then, like, they're not even playing. Their offense isn't high octane. Their running game and when a die went down hasn't been the same. If we're going to be comparing the Skins to teams in the NFC East, right? The Cowboys quarterback play is still to be determined, right? Mm-hmm. Just because what they did to the Skins doesn't mean. And again, that was more piss poor tackling. You're looking at the Eagles. Again, defensively, that secondary is all beat up.
But they can score the football.
Their run defense averages about, again, we're going to talk about this the next segment, but their run defense isn't the best, all right? Yeah. So as a whole, they have weaknesses. The Skins aren't far from any of those teams. So for me to say, like, how I should feel, the Skins are right there. So to Ray's point, when Ray said what? The NFC East is some crap. This is what Ray is right. I can say that now. It is. If you look at what it is, if now if they were in, say, the Saints division, or like if the Saints are in it, the Rams division, or even the Bears, like even the North with the Bears, we would have a different discussion. We could have a different discussion. But you can't tell me that the East is that strong to a point the Skins shouldn't feel like they don't have an opportunity.
I'm not saying the East is that strong. I'm saying if I look at this team objectively,
yeah,
this team cannot score more than 17 points.
If you're looking at this team objectively, let's be fair. Like, let's be real. No.
Can you allow me to finish? Thing? This team cannot score more than 17 points at its best.
Okay.
This team offensively cannot sustain a drive.
Okay.
This team is dependent upon a 34-year-old running back.
Yes. An all-time great running back, if you want to add that, too, though.
We can add that. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the plus that this team has, the defense has been solid.
Yeah.
Cornerback play has been shoddy.
It's been okay.
It's been shoddy.
Cowboys cornerback play hasn't been good either.
I'm not saying that. We're just talking about this team.
No, we're comparing it. But you got to do it with the outliner because it's about where this team can go. They're going against these teams. Like, that's the point. I'm not comparing them to a team outside of the division. We're comparing this team because it's about winning the NFC East, right? It's not about, like, this is what it's about.
Yeah, it's about winning.
So you're comparing this, like, would you take this so-called shoddy secondary over the Eagles secondary? Yes. Statistically, yes. I'm just being for statistically, yes.
I wouldn't because this is the, No. And this right. is just me. And this is me being totally objective, right? I've seen that Eagles secondary turn it on and play extremely well.
But we've seen. OK, so to your point, then, we've seen that with this Skins secondary.
When?
DJ Swerve had three picks in the game. We saw it against the Cardinals. We saw it.
I'm not talking about a game or two.
We haven't seen that.
I'm not talking about a game or two.
Yeah.
We've seen that Eagles secondary last year play very strong and be one of the strong suits of that team.
You say what did you just say?
Is that fair?
And then also,
I look at the individual talent
uh-huh.
in that Eagles secondary.
So name that individual talent.
To me, it's better than what Washington.
Okay,
has.
Again, you're playing with nothing but rookies right now. Basically, first year, second year dudes in your secondary. Darby's out for the season. That was your best corner. Okay. Watkins isn't good. Watkins isn't good. Your only good player in your secondary I'm talking about a starter is Malcolm Jenkins. Only one.
McLeod.
If we're being objective,
yes,
DJ Swerges is all pro right now, playing at all pro level. We'll probably make the Pro Bowl.
He's playing at a Pro Bowl.
You would take Norman Quinn Dunbar, was rated higher than any cornerback within your guys when healthy. This is the truth.
When healthy.
No, I'm saying, no, to when your point. But your secondary is not even healthy. So this is my point. This is my point is we're comparing it to that. That secondary is not good. That's not a good secondary.
Then we take it to the flip side.
Okay, flip side.
That offense.
So if you're gonna go offense,
I'm not gonna argue. That's to me. That's the redeeming.
But you can't
quality.
Say the secondary. You can't say
no,
that.
But you use that secondary. Listen to what I'm saying.
Uh huh.
I would take, if you're asking me.
Okay.
The coaching, and the talent, and that secondary. That's shown that they can play over a high level over a sustained period,
mm-hmm.
than a secondary that's had its moments and looked very good in moments. Those moments that have been very isolated moments. That's what I'm referring to as Washington's secondary.
Okay. I would take the skin secondary has been more consistent compared to the Eagles secondary.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not even being like a true blinded diehard Skins fan. You talking about the offense? I'm gonna take that quarterback. I'm gonna take Alshon Jeffries, and I'm good to go. Cause I've always those two. I'm good to go. I'm not worried about Nelson Aguilar, whatever. I'm good to go.
Then I'm taking that tight end.
Oh, Zach Ertz. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm taking Zach Ertz too. But other than that, to be honest with you, offensively, I'll go with that. And the coach, cause the coach is the offensive mind. Like Peterson's a great offensive mind. I'm cool with that. Like, I'm honest with that. But on that defense side of the ball, other than if you want to talk about that with Fletcher Cox, we can, like, I'd be like, yeah, that's a dog right there. We could talk about, but I'm not talking about that secondary. Like, that secondary gets ate up. Like, that's the downfall of, to be told, be real, that's the downfall of that team on that defense. That front seven works it. And that front seven ain't balling, that secondary ain't balling.
I have far more confidence in the defensive coaches. Being able to,
I like Swartz though. I've always liked Swartz.
I have more confidence in Jim Schwartz being able to apply pressure with the front seven.
Yeah.
And get to the quarterback quick to cut down on the time that his corners and safeties have to be in coverage than I do with Washington.
That's your opinion. That's fair.
Yeah. On the flip side, yeah. When I look at that offense compared to this offense, there's a great fall off from the Eagles.
We'll have more Eagles discussions after break. We're going to talk about this Reuben Foster thing. The Niners released Reuben Foster due to another domestic charge. The Redskins have claimed Reuben Foster.
The only team that's
As of now, he is a Washington Redskin, and he's also on the commissioner's exempt list, so he probably won't play this season, which I'm cool with anyway. Do you like the move by the Skins?
Hell no.
All right, good. But tell me why. No dead silence, though.
No, not dead silence. I ate prior to coming over here. Reuben Foster, although a young man, a very talented young man, mm-hmm. Has had multiple bouts or multiple allegations of domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take into consideration him being suspended for the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And I ask myself, why would you add that to this locker room?
Yeah.
Why would, if this team that's already lost their quarterback, already has an all-time great running back who last week it came out in the media that rather unfairly, it came out in the media that he still beats his child.
Are we gonna redo
this? Dude, this is another layer.
I'm looking at it objectively.
Okay.
Because right? I have an issue with white media. But go ahead.
All I can do is look at things objectively.
All right.
Lost your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson thing.
Yeah.
This week, now the guy who you playing was playing all world, all pro corner safety came out in the press and berated his teammates, practice
DJ,
habits.
DJ Swearinger. That's a consistent thing.
Why would you add that? On top of those things, you're trying to contend for an NFC East title and a playoff spot. Why would you add that into everything else you have going on? And you take into account there's a optics, whether fairly or unfairly, optics and the perception that this is a club that doesn't do things right.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So you add all these things. Why the hell would you add him into the mix of your locker room? Despite, even though he's vastly talented and you thought very highly of him in the past.
Well, I mean, he's got the Alabama boys. So they're there. No, this is what.
Look, what the hell does that mean,
bro? Like, can I finish?
Okay, I apologize.
I know I'd be cutting you off. I apologize. But he has the Alabama boys, so he has friends who can have his back and pretty much can counsel to him. That's what I've heard, and that they've heard that's something that the Redskins have decided to lean on. Secondly, you know, I'm always been in favor of giving any young individual an opportunity. I don't get into the whole. Is he going to damage the locker room? Let's keep it a buck. If you're talented, you ain't damaging the locker room unless you suck. I'm just going to be honest with you. Unless you suck, that's when you damage the locker room. Right? Draymond Green is an a-hole. But you know what happens, though? He's an inspirational leader to the team, and they ball with him. And because he does something very talented for that team, plays defense and shares the basketball.
Well, I don't think that's a truly apple-to-apples comparison.
But Draymond Green almost fought his coach, right?
Yes, but there's a difference between a man who's fought his coach and a man who's been – accused of domestic violence, but this is in the locker room.
We're talking about in the locker room. You said it in the locker room, right?
Okay.
I'm saying in the locker room.
But this
right?
is something you have to. This, but this is the.
But
thing.
You have. You know what I'm saying.
I'm gonna let you finish.
The locker room. I'm just saying, like, you have acts of effed up things in the locker room, right? Okay. Right. For this situation, one, he's not gonna play this season. I don't care what anybody thinks. He's not gonna play this season. I don't think he's gonna play this season, and that's the reason. That's what I looked at when the Skins decided to put a claim out there and sign him.
Let me ask you this question: if he's not gonna play this season, why the hell do you claim?
You still got him on a rookie deal. He's on cheap on a rookie deal because you have the anticipation that he'll play next season. You can put him in the offseason. He can learn the system. He can read the playbook. Because right now, what's going on with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix? No, just be what's going on with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Let me rebut. Mm-hmm. Here's my rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
No one was going to claim
you
him.
You don't know that. That's what I'm saying. You don't know that as an organization. How does it hurt you by claiming him for next season? What hurts you? Like, what really hurts you? Because you're gonna have him.
I don't know. There's already there's a perception that you as a club are F ups.
Look,
for two.
Uh-huh.
It's domestic violence.
We don't know what happened. Like what
we don't. We absolutely.
Look, I'm gonna tell you.
We are absolutely right. We do not know what happened.
Yeah, we don't. We don't know what happened.
But
the same thing with Dwight Howard. People are going on Dwight.
I'm not going there.
Exactly.
Not going
you know what? I'm just. This is what I'm saying though. This is my point. People say what. And I don't know if it happened. Whatever. People make claims and accusations all the time. True or false. Whatever happens. Right.
Very true.
And we're in a society now. As soon as somebody says something, we take it as the gospel.
Am I correct? Very
so
true.
All I'm saying is that let's play it out.
Let's play out. That's fair. But my man, I wouldn't pick him up just because he's not smart. And here's why. No, seriously,
go ahead.
This is the third time he's been accused of domestic violence by the same woman.
Yeah.
Why are you still in the same relationship?
Nothing.
If it's true that she, in the past that she's tried to bring you down and falsely accused you of domestic violence, even though when police conducted their report, their report was consistent with what her injuries were consistent with what she stated in her report the first time before she retracted her report.
Yeah.
Why would you stay around someone who has tried to burn you for three times, falsely accusing you of domestic violence?
One,
I wouldn't pick you up just because you're not smart. Even if, like, everything aside, even if it's not true, I wouldn't pick you up because you're not smart.
No, I get that. That makes sense. I won't even argue that. Because we said I believe you know what that is. I don't get that.
That's poor judgment.
That's poor judgment.
And that's something else that could potentially – that's another potential distraction that I would have to deal with.
You know, I would have a – I mean, before we got to go to break, so – but, you know, she could have the wet-wet. You know what I mean?
She could have the wet-wet, bro. She could have many dudes have fell prey to the wet-wet. But for me, I sit back. I examine the situation. I look at it from my perspective, like if I'm in his shoes.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Someone's trying to bring me down for millions of dollars. This is the third time. Why am I going to stick
around? I'm with you. Real talk. Like, that's why when I found out it was the same chick, I was like, dude, you still with the same chick? Like, you messing up on millions upon millions of dollars. And again, just to be real, like, you're such a talented brother. Like, the only way you can be brought down is by yourself.
This is me. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. We're going over time here, but I have to ask.
Go ask away.
I know you as a person.
Yeah.
Right? I know you very well as a person.
Yeah.
If it's true.
Yeah.
And he's still on this roster, could you honestly support this team going forward?
If it's true. And he's not trying to get help? He's not honestly, like, you know what I mean? Because this is my thing.
I'm not real.
No, I'm real. This is, I'm totally real. So I say things like this, and this is the honest to God truth. I'm willing to give any man another chance if it doesn't impact me. This is the truth. Okay. Like you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he did it to my sister. You ain't getting another chance. You get what I'm saying? For somebody else from a distance, I'm real. Like, from a distance, I'm honest enough in myself to say this. Like, I'm willing to give anybody a second chance. But if it impacts me, then I'm like, yo, nah.
All right, but it's like the same thing. You're a man of values and principles.
Yeah, I am.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're also, I know that you do not believe in hitting women.
I do not.
That's why I'm asking you. Can you put your values and virtues aside to support this team? If he's on this team, knowing how you feel about
it. If I feel like he's not trying to change himself, no. Okay. I'm real. If he's not trying to change himself, no. Like, if I see him still having that, you know, you know, this
three
people.
If
it's all three times, again, I don't, like, if she came out and said she did, like, she came out and said it was fake, whatever, even that's true or false, I don't know. Like, I don't know the situation. But if I know, like, if he's guilty, I'm like, let's be real. If he's guilty, he's not playing on the squad anywhere.
But then you still have that black eye on your organization as being an organization that picked up a man.
Dallas Cowboys picked up a dude that the Cowboys picked up. What's his face?
Who?
He played for Carolina.
Greg Hardy.
And he was as bad as it gets, bro. And no one's still talking about that anymore.
That's very true. You know what I mean? And he played. People still talk about that.
Look, bro, and he played. And he played. And he played a lot.
People still do talk about that. They bring it up on the
every once, but not like as thorough as they. You know what I mean? As thorough as you would think, right? And he played a lot. And he did some stuff for real. All
right.
All right, man. The Skins have the Eagles Monday night. We'll preview the game after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Smash away in the punt from Nick Harris.
It's a beauty.
Beautiful booming spiral. James going to take it at his own 13. Has a little bit of running room to the right to the 20. 25, 30. Off to the races, 40. 45, 50.
A terrific block. I think it was by Sean Taylor. Man, he just decked one of the lines, and the guy's out. Well, you got a real injury here because, I mean, I think Sean Taylor just nailed the guy. If it wasn't Sean Taylor, I didn't get the number. But it looked like a Sean Taylor hit.
Hockley's getting ready to give us some.
Wow, what a hit. Frampton is down. The ball down inside the 10-yard line on the big return by James Thrash.
It's about to at the two, I think.
One was recovered by the
other. Backed up on their own 14 from the shotgun. Roethlisberger back to pass. Looking. Uh-oh. Getting flushed to the right. Scrambling. Moving to his right. Throws it down the sideline. Hayes is there. It is incomplete. He is just trailed by who?
Taylor. My guy, Taylor.
Man, he's the train if the other guy's the bus.
Boy, that was some piece of nice defense there. You'll only find better coverage than that in the Washington Sports section. Check it out tomorrow.
They call it Taylor.
Whoa, did he hit?
Yes, he did.
He's a linebacker playing safety.
And they had a man behind the coverage, and he hit him with it.
Oh, he was juggling it beforehand, wasn't he?
Wow.
What a hit.
McNabb wheels on a play-action fake, looking left, fires. It is incomplete. Sean Taylor
decked him.
He sure did. Knocked the ball right out of the hands of Reggie Brown, who said, did you get the license plate of that man?
Oh, I love that kind of hit. I mean,
man, R.I.P. Sean Tate, man. We ain't never had a safety like that. DJ Swearinger representing, though. He representing. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia. Your host are Will T and myself, Wiley Ray. Jeezy's out. Monday night, the Skins take on NFC East rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles. What is the main thing that should concern the Skins about the Eagles?
There's a couple things. This team has a championship pedigree.
Don't say that secondary either.
No, I mean, the team, you know, has the heart of a champion, a championship pedigree. They're coming off a Super Bowl. So towards the end of the season, you know, they see that they're not in it or in a position that they want to be in. So naturally, there's a potential for them to fight a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Coming out Monday night in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
right at home.
Yeah,
that's one. Two, the wide receiver versus cornerback matchup. You know, Alshon Jeffery will probably shadow. I mean, Josh Norman will probably shadow Alshon Jeffery. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, you have Golden Tate. Doug Peterson's pretty good at getting guys the ball in open space.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden Tate, we all know he's – He was similar to Anquan Boldin when he had the ball in his hands as mm-hmm. a wide receiver. He turns into a running back with
physical.
The ball in his hand. Very physical in an open space. So there's that. Then there's the matchup with Zach Ertz, you know, versus your linebacker.
I think that's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is having a hell of a season.
Oh, he's just a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. And then also Josh Adams, the guy who's turned it up. You know,
the running back for Notre Dame.
Yeah, the rookie undrafted running back. He's a guy who, when he's given the opportunity, he's averaged at least 4 yards a carry. So, you know, does he start to get, you know, does Doug Peterson pick up the volume and give him the ball a little mm-hmm. bit more to take some pressure off of Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Then injuries along the offensive line, Washington's offensive line.
Pass rush.
Yeah, Tim Jernigan. You have
Graham.
Brandon Graham, you have Chris Long, you have
Fletcher Cox. Yeah.
So, you know. But then on the flip side for Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
That defensive line.
Yeah.
I guess what is the Alabama Wall?
You got Tim Settles. You got Tim Settles from Virginia Tech who looked good against the Cowboys. I mean, you got players.
Yeah, then, you know, Preston Smith.
Starting the ball.
What is it with Preston Smith? It always seems like the last third of the season.
He balls out. I don't know.
It's like the switch flips late.
You would think, though, he would have that whole mindset in the beginning of the season for this season because of the contract year. But obviously, you would think so.
But he's come up big over the last couple.
Yeah, sure has. He sure has.
So, you know, it'll be an interesting matchup. I plan on going out to watch the game. You will probably
watch it
hunkered
down. Yeah, we watch it home. You know how I am. My main thing, I mean, you mentioned all great points. My main thing is tackling Carson Wentz. And trying, you know, we saw what Dak Prescott did. And to me, Carson Wentz is way more elusive than Dak Prescott. And he's a guy who's more accurate. He can throw the ball on the run. He can throw the ball from the pocket. He can make big plays if you do miss him. You know what I mean? And we saw this last season, even in the season opener against the Washington Redskins, where he eluded multiple defenders. I believe he threw a bomb to Nelson Aguilar for a touchdown. So he's the guy. He's a guy that I feel like definitely deserves number one priority for the Skins. Period. Second would have to be Zach Ertz. Obviously, Zach Ertz is a monster. He's a guy that hopefully Mason Foster isn't guarding or checking, because if Mason Foster is lined up against Zach Ertz, that's a problem. That's a serious, serious problem. I had an argument with somebody on Twitter, and he was like, "Well, Zach Ertz."
Argue with people on Twitter
all the time, man. This dude's pretty cool. This one's, you know, I like arguing with people who, you know, have sense. So he stated to me that, you know, Zach Ertz would do that to anybody. He would do that to Josh Norman. I was like, no, he wouldn't do that to Josh Norman. It's a degree of being burnt. Like Mason Foster checking Zach Ertz is different from Josh Norman checking Zach Ertz.
Yeah,
you agree with me?
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I
like
think, Zach Ertz would body up
exactly.
Josh Norman, but Zach Ertz
would be
would
in space against
versus
Mason Foster. So basically, Zach Ertz would still be running.
Yes.
You get my point? He would still be running. So
Carson Wentz would be throwing into wide open windows.
Exactly. It's a difference, regardless of what you think. It's a difference. And on the flip side, even with all the talk about Reuben Foster, don't you think it's a bad sign for a Mason Foster?
I mean,
if you think about it.
Potentially, but there are you have two middle linebackers.
Yeah, that's so, Zach Brown, who you just re-signed with a decent deal.
Okay.
So
Mason Foster. Okay.
Yeah. But still, though, I think that's an issue in terms of the Eagles. Those are guys that I would be concerned with. I think Will mentioned pretty much everybody else in terms of that front seven. Everyone knows the Eagles front seven is dangerous. Even I believe Michael Bennett too, who was a guy who's begging for more playing time.
I didn't even mention Michael Bennett.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Eagles have a pass rush. But for the Skins to do well against the Eagles to negate that pass rush, you got to feature Adrian Peterson. Well, feature the running game. I'm not going to just say Adrian Peterson. Feature the running game. Chris Thompson may be healthy. Looks like he's getting to that point where he's getting healthy. He may play Monday night. If you can run the ball against this Eagle defense that allows 4.9 yards a carry, you have an opportunity to stay in the game and win the game. If you do what Jay Gruden did against the Cowboys, try to feature Colt McCoy, then you have a problem. Stick to the game plan, run the football, feature your running game, and have Colt make some plays here and there. But don't put the whole game plan on Colt McCoy to be Aaron Rodgers, to be Drew Brees, to be Tom Brady, because that is a losing formula. Will predictions?
I'm going with Philadelphia.
Of course you are.
Philadelphia.
I know Ray has Philly. And of course I'm going to pick the home team.
Okay.
Do it for the city, man. Y'all know I'm Mr. DMV. I'm doing it for the city.
Yep. Here you go, man.
Don't knock the picks, man. My man Jeremy about the Eagles. Jeremy Gordon said we have zero weapons on our and our defense isn't the same as it was in the first six games, minus New Orleans. Jeffrey Walter said, can they cover Zach Ertz? So, again, Zach Ertz is the problem.
Zach Ertz will be the problem.
He will be. Yeah, he is a problem. He's a serious problem. Real talk. I mean, we know this. He's a serious problem. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. See you after the break. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally. Here my boy Will T. We're your host, Ray's Out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search All Skins Everything. Also do the same for us on Google Play. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. Anytime you feel like ranting about the Skins or you have a question, call us and leave us a voice message. Here's the number. It's 301-799-5407. I said that earlier in the pregame. You can also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We'll play your message on our show. Today is all Sean Taylor. So here we go. First, my man George.
Hello, All Skins Hair Thing. This is George calling for Sean Taylor memories, and I've got one that stands out more than any other because I was there. And it was a game against the Cowboys that I think might have been a 1 o'clock game. It looked like it was a game that was an absolute seesaw back and forth, and it looked like the Cowboys were going to win on a late field goal. The field goal got blocked. Sean Taylor picked it up, and after getting his head turned halfway around and getting and drawing a face mask penalty, which none of us even saw because we were just kind of bewildered at what happened with the kick, Sean Taylor makes this great return, and we're all sitting there thinking we're going to go to overtime. Instead, he's made this great return. He's drawn this 15-yard penalty, and all of a sudden, here's Nick Novak from the University of Maryland coming on to try a game-winning field goal that, I'll be honest, sitting in the other end zone, in the opposite end zone, I didn't think he had a hope in hell of making. And I couldn't see it at all, but he actually made it by the barest of margins and won the game. But that's what I'm going to remember about Sean Taylor, is that Sean Taylor wasn't just an impactful defensive player. He would have played offense if you'd have let him. He would play special teams all the time. And, of course, everybody will remember that famous hit in the Pro Bowl on the punter when they stupidly tried a fake punt for reasons I'll never understand. But that's the thing. It's like wherever Sean Taylor could make an impact, he would make an impact. And I don't know what would have happened if he'd have lived. I don't know if he would have been pushed out of the game by the rules the way they are now because of how physical he was and how now it's pretty much illegal to play physical in the secondary. But what a man, what a player, what a great impact he had. Look at all the safeties that play and look up to him and try to pattern themselves after him. He was a comet in many ways, but his impact on the position itself was incalculable. And that's what I'm going to remember the most about Sean Taylor.
And George, you're right, man. Sean Taylor was a playmaker. Like, if anything, he was a playmaker. He wasn't a defensive player, wasn't an offensive player. He was a playmaker. The man just made plays. You saw it every week, every Sunday, you know, and he was an intimidator too. And you mentioned what Sean Taylor would have been. You know, I've thought about this. It's like, I just think he would have been an all-time great safety. And just, I've always said this, like even back then and when it happened and even five, you know, years later, could you imagine Sean Taylor and LaRon Landry, that unit together, what they brought to the table as intimidators and with 4-4-4-3 speed and playmaking ability, like Sean, like LaRon could play in the box, Sean Taylor can just roam the field. Like, that combination would have been deadly, like seriously deadly. And I always think, like, what could have been if Sean Taylor if Sean Taylor was never killed? Like Sean Taylor and LaRon Landry, and even like to Sean Taylor's greatness, we're looking to me, would have been a Hall of Famer easily. Like, he was just that great and that phenomenal of a talent. And I do think he would have played in today's NFL because he wasn't just a hitter. He was a guy that he was a ball hawk too. He just did it all. He was just that great. You know, we look at it in terms of combination at the safety position. The dude can hit and he can catch and he could take a pick and take it to the house. What I like to call, man, when you throw that ball up there and Sean Taylor's around there and he has an opportunity to get it, that's barbecue chicken for Sean Tay. And, yeah, definitely, Sean Taylor will be. Man, Sean Taylor's already missed. He's always missed, man. My man, Dustin, what's good?
This is Dustin Kirkland out of Alabama. I was just going to pass on the message about Sean Taylor. I'm a diehard Redskins fan, been one since I was a little kid. And there's not just one moment, but every moment that he was on the field was inspiring. He always tried to strive for greatness, and he was one hell of a defensive player. We will never forget him and hope his family knows that. Hail to the Redskins, and rest in peace, Sean Taylor.
Dustin, that was beautiful, man. Like, and this is the first time I saw Dustin to All Skins Everything. Dustin, appreciate you, my man. You know what? Sean Taylor gave us multiple memories. Everything he did on Sunday was special. And definitely to his family, you know, his family, they blessed us all as fans to get to see this individual. Like, they blessed us to see an individual as great as Sean Taylor, not just as a football player, but as to me a person. You don't gravitate to somebody just because they're talented. You know what I mean? Regardless of what some of the media try to paint Sean Taylor into being, like, watching Sean Taylor, that's just, you can't just love Sean Taylor because he was a great football player. You loved him because of the person he was. And that to me is important, because there's a lot of guys out there that we just fall in, like, you don't like, and they're great. They're great players. But Sean Taylor is a guy that obviously he's impacted so many Skins fans, not because he was a great football player, but he was a good person. And I think that's something we can't forget. DeShawn Taylor was a guy that grew on us. We looked at him and we're like, okay, he's a quiet kid. He was a phenomenal talent. But it's a guy that, you know what, when you looked at him, you're like, you know, that's a cool dude. That's a cool brother. And, yeah, Shante, you'll be missed. A phenomenal person, phenomenal player. R.I.P. Shante. A Mega, another phenomenal person who passed away way too early. One of my best friends and a big Shawn Taylor fan. Matter of fact, real story. This is a true story. When the draft came out, when that draft, I wanted Kellen Winslow Jr. because I wanted a hybrid wide receiver tight end type. I wanted that type of player. And my boy Ron was like, nah, man, you want Shawn Taylor. Like, Shawn Taylor, that's the dude the Skins should take. I was like, nah, man, I want Kellen Winslow. We draft Shawn Taylor. Saw him in the preseason. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm cool. Yes, you're right, Shawn Taylor. I saw Miami, and I was impressed with him in Miami. But once I saw him in preseason, I'm like, I'm good. Oh, I want this dude. Oh, I like this dude. So, Mega, you was out. You were right. You know what I mean? Right? You're always right, Mega. And RIP, Mega, to you as well. But, Mega, as usual, bruh, lead us out, big homie. But real quick, sorry, Mega. You've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, now lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, man.